I love the phrase that he said. He knew he wanted to share with other people. He knew that he wanted to find God and help others to find him. He just knew that was his destiny. And I just love that generosity of heart and spirit that he just knew right away. And then what he had to do to be able to actually share in the way that was his nature was quite challenging, because he lived with Yogananda. He lived with all these older devotees who'd been with Yogananda for years and years. And Yogananda never told them, Swami Kriyananda has a great work to do. You know, he never said that to them. So here, 3.5 years Swami had with Master, and Master saying, you've got this big work. I want you to write. I want you to edit. I want you to lecture. You know, I'm really counting on you, you know, really do it. Don't let me down. And then Rajasi says to him, Master said you have a great work to do and he'll give you the strength to do it. So he's getting all this instruction from his guru, but his elders, the people running the organization, don't know anything about it. So it's quite an interesting story. So they're asking him to do things like go work in the print shop. And he's saying, well, doesn't feel right, because Yogananda told me to do something else. I have to follow my guru. But they don't understand. And so he got out of that one by saying, truthfully, he said, if you put me in the room with all those machines, they'll break, because I have this karma with machines, it just doesn't work. So they said, oh yeah, that's right, we remember, you know. So they knew that was, they didn't give him that job. But just as an example, they just didn't ever understand what the guru had asked for him. And for a long time, Swami Kriyananda suffered about that. I mean, he was concerned about that, because he was so loyal to his guru, and he thought his guru was Self-Realization Fellowship, was the work of the guru, so he was loyal to that work. So, as he said later, he said, my tendency would have been to just stay there. And if they hadn't asked me to leave, because we had differences of opinion and differences of what we felt Master wanted us to do, if that hadn't happened, if they hadn't asked me to leave, I could have easily died with an ulcer, because he had all this energy to share his guru's teachings in the ways that were natural to him and that his guru had asked him to do. So it's a great lesson. I was thinking, how does it apply to all of us? Because that Swami has his unique life. You know, he was born pretty evolved. You look at his life, you look at him living with Master directly. But how does that relate to all of us? And I think Ananda has a wonderful origin and tradition that does apply to all of us. And that is, it's important to serve the Guru in the way that you feel in your heart the Guru wants you to. And that can be challenging, you know, to find what that is and to feel, even if others don't agree with you, that, no, I need to be true to my service, to my guru. And it cuts through a lot of the confusion that people have about, is SRF where I should be, or is Ananda where I should be? And people just have to go and feel, and Swami would tell any of us, go and see for yourself. But it was important to me when I started reading, I was sorting all that out when I first read The Path. And I thought, okay, what kind of person am I? Am I a kind of person that really likes to have a strong organization tell me what to do all the time? Do I need that? Do I want that? Am I going to feel more closer, you know, I'm going to feel closer to God if I just follow somebody else's telling me, do it this way, do it exactly like this? Or am I the kind of person that kind of likes to go with the flow a little bit, likes things to be new and different and creative? What kind of person am I? Where would I fit best? And I looked around at Ananda and I looked at Swamiji, and I felt the way he does it, that's going to be better for my soul. It's going to be more challenging in some ways. In some ways, you know, past incarnations maybe, or you know, we've all probably been at this more than a life or two, trying to find God, and we go into monasteries, we do whatever is possible at the time, we get away from the world, we close ourselves up, we you know, we listen to our superiors and we do exactly what they say because we don't feel confident that we could tune into God ourselves. We just feel like, I need somebody to tell me. I can't hear anything inside. If I do hear something, I don't trust it. Because, you know, I'm just a little devotee and I want a mommy and a daddy to tell me what to do, you know. And we go through incarnations like that. And that's probably really just what we needed to do in that incarnation. But the age is getting a little higher and Yogananda comes and he's just so embracing of everything. He just says, life is God. Like that mantra that Swami wrote, God is life, God is joy, joy. God is life, God is joy. Life is God's, life is joy. You know, and Yogananda just had this wonderful way of being so creative and so inclusive and so... the spiritual life is a part of everything in your daily life. Make that be a sadhana, just like going into your meditation room. And for some of us, like, well, there's my meditation room and I can get a certain place, but there's out there, I can't quite hold that. And most of us are still trying to hold it out there. And some part of me, when I learned about SRF, I thought, ooh, I'll be safe there. If I were to go there, that's my where I'm supposed to go, I'll be safe because I won't get into any trouble because everybody will tell me what to do and I'll be right there in the ashram and I'll never go outside the doors. And there was a part of me that went, ooh, safe. And then I got into it a little more and I thought, is that really what Master wants for me? You know, I had to ask. And this world brotherhood colony idea, which is hinted on a little bit in there, it can be more challenging. It's like Lahiri Mahashaya said, and it was written in the AY, it was taken out by SRF's version, which is an interesting note. Master said, actually the highest path, if you can do it without attachment, is to live as a householder, to have worldly responsibilities, live in the world, and bring God into every part of it, but do it without attachment. So don't be attached to your husband or your home or your children. It's a little harder than going behind the walls and saying, I don't want anything to be not attached to.
That's easier to be not attached.
If you have nothing. You know, there was a song, I will digress this a little bit, but you may actually know this, because he has this thing for American rock and roll. He grew up loving this whole sort of music way out there in India. I mean, you know, must have been a past life or something. Anyway, Janis Joplin. I don't know if you know who Janis Joplin is. Okay. She has a song that I wasn't into that music so much, but this one phrase I recognize, there's truth in that. And that was, when you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. You know? And so you've given it all up and you live in a, you know, a one thing and somebody gives you bread and water every day and you're not thinking about anything else and you've got nothing to lose. There's a great freedom in that, isn't there? I've got nothing, I've got nothing to lose. So incarnations, I think we've been like, ooh, I got nothing, I gave it all away, I don't have anything to lose, I can just be free in my mind, I don't have to think about groceries and children and
creating businesses, learning money-making
and
skills.
Finances and accounting and projects and all that stuff, you know. You think, ooh, I would rather do that. But are we going to get to Nirvikalpa Samadhi by doing that? You know, are we going to... And what is the Guru asking us to do? That's really the big question. And for Swamiji, the Guru asked him to do a certain kind of work. And he just said, I'm going to do that work. And basically it got him kicked out on his ear. Because they just thought, why aren't you doing what we tell you to do? Why do you keep having these ideas that you want to do something, you know... You want to open up a center in India, you know?
We didn't tell you to do that.
We didn't tell you to go do that. Why do you have all these ideas? Why don't you just stop having all these ideas and just do what we tell you? Because that's convenient for the people who are running the organization. We want Joe to be there. Joe, go there. What? You don't want to go there? You know, wait a minute. That's not right. We want you to, you know. So Swami, what he learned in living in the middle of all that was that there's another way you can have an organization that's not so focused on top-down, authority at the top telling you. So he said, okay, let's try it a different way. These cooperative obedience of World Brotherhood colonies. Cooperative. Because from the inside out, he thought, gosh, if they'd just be willing to cooperate, you know, if we could have cooperated, it would have worked out great, you know. I felt to do something, they felt to do something else, I'll cooperate with what they're doing, they cooperate with what I'm doing, everybody wins, right? It could have been a really happy story. He asked Diamata at one point, well, you know, Yogananda spoke a lot about these World Brotherhood colonies where we'd have, you know, places where devotees would live together, householders would live together, everyone would meditate together and work together, and he really put a lot of energy into that, especially at the end of his life. When will we be starting these? And Diamata's answer was, I'm not interested. That's not what I want to do. I don't feel at all inspired to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. She could have done what she felt inspired to do and said, hey, you know, why don't you take a few monks and go start one? You know, that could have been an option. But she couldn't see that point of view. She just, it wasn't in her. So it was God's play, and because it wasn't in her, and Swami couldn't give up what his guru said, you know, they had a parting of the ways. And it was very painful for Swamiji. It was a big spiritual test for him, which you'll hear about more. We lived through it, and for a while, I mean, people were going to Swami, you know, and saying, Swami, can you not talk about that anymore? You know, I mean, it was just such a big deal because he's so loyal to his guru, he just couldn't understand how it would be that he wasn't part of SRF anymore, that SRF kicked him out and that he couldn't get it back together with them. He always was trying to get it back together with them. And at one point he offered to give Ananda to them so that it would all be under one master's circle.
And we already had eight big colonies and over 1,000 people in residence, and he still said, I'll let you take over Ananda.
Yeah,
if you'd just be willing.
If you want, you know, just because he felt his guru's work shouldn't be there shouldn't be this division so early on in the life. I mean, this is an early work. This is Ananda Self-Realization Fellowship, Master Coming. This is, he started there, and it's so new. It's such a new work.
What are we at? 60 years. 60 years after the...
Swamiji really felt like dividing it was not a good idea. He really didn't want to. So he kept over and over writing, asking, you know, praying, thinking, dreaming, hoping, wishing, you know, and just until he died, it just never was possible. And he finally accepted, kind of in the last few years of his life, you know what, I just got to give it up. It's just not going to happen.
Although he still left it in the legacy, in his will.
Well, the legacy, he said, if ever you can work together, do it, you know, really, because he, in his mind, he never saw it as being separate. It couldn't be, because it's one. You know, we're all disciples of Yogananda, so how can it be separate? It doesn't make any sense at all. Except that's the only way he could do as good as work. So anyway, at some point it'll be one again. Who knows if it'll have a name or what it'll be, or if we'll be alive to see it, or if our grandchildren will be alive to see it. Who knows? But I know that intention for him was so strong, I think, because he felt it was Master's will, that it should be all the disciples being together, working together to fulfill all the work that the Guru had to do. And part of the work the Guru had to do was World Brotherhood colonies, so just unfortunate that it couldn't be together in Swami's lifetime or in Master's lifetime. He had to abandon the idea of World Brotherhood colonies.
He being?
Yogananda. He had Encinitas going in that direction, and he had Dr. Lewis and his wife, and he was inviting some families to come and live there. And what he found is that after the war, people were so fragile, sort of tender, a little insecure. You know, my husband's been away. You know, he's come home. We have a baby. You know, let's make sure we have our self, you know, safe and sound and together. So he said that people weren't ready because he said they wanted us four and no more. They wanted that security in their family unit, strong family, independent family, individual family unit. So what he would find with and this is really fun, what he would find with the families that were coming is he's there, he's the guru, he's supposed to help the chelas grow. So he'd see something that somebody needed to change. He felt like maybe they were ready to change it. And he'd mention it to them, just like he would with the monks and the nuns, you know, try this. Donald, you need to get more devotion. You know, he would just guide them and teach them because they came there for that. And so he'd do that with a husband or a wife. And what he found is they'd go home and they'd say to their wife, "Do you believe he said that to me? I don't think I need to do that. Do you know?" Of course, the wife would say, "No, darling, you don't need to do anything. You're perfect as you are." So he wasn't able to make much progress with the devotees that way because of that. So at one point he said, Encinitas is gone. The world, he was hoping that would be the World Brotherhood Colony. It didn't work out, but that's okay, you know. Then he had Swamiji, who heard him at that amazing garden party. "Youths must go north, south." We've all heard that. Swami was, you know, hidden. He knew, I will do anything for this part of my guru's work. So that's the birth of what we've all been attracted to here at Ananda. Mm-hmm. So important times. Also important for us to know if there's a future time when SRF starts saying, "Hey, let's have something together, let's do something." You know, we want to cooperate as much as possible. And we also want to be aware that the last generation that's mostly dying off, sometimes they faked it, saying they wanted to cooperate when in fact they just didn't, they wanted not to cooperate. Anyway, so, you know, with discriminating wisdom, we want to meditate, but we want to be able to do things together as much as possible. And with Jyotish there, I think we know he's such a harmonic person, and he's so wise and he's so in tune with Swamiji that if a possibility is going to happen in his lifetime, I think he'll recognize it and say, "Let's all try to move forward together in whatever way we can with them." Because they are brothers and sisters. They are. And Swami also learned about top-down organization, how crunching it can be. So he doesn't want us to fall into that, you know, as leaders or as devotees, as, you know, he wants it to be cooperative, and he wants us to say, "No, I don't think I can do that. Oh, show me what else I can do," or, "I have an idea. How about if we try this?" And he always encouraged our ideas. Even if they were off the wall, nobody else was going to do them. And, you know, he never wanted us to just think, "Oh, I can't have an idea because there's so many other people who have ideas. They won't listen to mine." He never wanted that. I remember I thought he had a play he was doing. And I said, "Swamiji, wouldn't it be great if we could have this play in a big theater and we had really good lights? This is the peace treaty. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could?" He said, "Yes, keep that thought in mind. Don't give up on that," said, you know, and I sort of haven't. I'm still not gone. You know, it's possible that could happen in my lifetime. I keep it in the back of my to-do list there. Like Asha had a to-do list to write a book about Swami. And she had a lot of other things on her list, and it was a really hard one for her. So, you know, she's now 70-ish, something like that in there. And this is when she finally got to write the book, so important to do the creative deeds that the Guru plants in our hearts as ways to flower our spiritual selves and to serve Him in whatever way that is, quietly or inwardly or outwardly. So, I don't know what else. Kriya is coming. Go for Kriya.
Time for you to finish us off.
Okay, it's time to go, yeah. Okay, so you know, attunement we hear is everything. Attunement. We can make it if we just stay attuned to the Guru. We won't fall if we just stay attuned to the Guru. I'll say you can get Kriya if you'll just stay attuned to the Guru. Just keep remembering. Look at the point between the eyebrows throughout the day. Call to God in little ways. Just keep keep him near. To those who think me near, I will be near. Yogananda said, when people said, what will you do? What will we do when you're not there? Well, what will we do when we can't meditate as much as we want? For those who think me near, I will be near. In whatever activities, whatever things we're doing, calling, thinking him near, looking at his feet, looking in his eyes, visualizing, calling his name, Om Guru, just keeping ourselves near, seeing him in the eyes of others, visualizing him living in the heart of everything, Om Guru, Om Guru, keep him near. When you learn your kriyas, you'll also have an opportunity, breath by breath, as you do with Hong Sa, keep him near. The Guru breathing through us, working through us, that divine consciousness that he represents flowing through us. All we have to do is remember. Each inhale is an opportunity. I am he. And working, dreaming, chanting, divinely loving, serving. God, God, God. I am he. Om Guru. Very simple. Just have to remember. That's our part. Turn in the direction and remember.